live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, also SimplyG.com and BeachLifestyle.com. And I've been catching a lot of flack from my fans saying, you're getting Ravens on, you're getting Patriots on, you're getting Cowboys on. When are we going to have another Steeler? Well, and a current Steeler, in fact, well, I've been working on it, and I'm so excited to welcome the program, and I'm going to say, welcome to Pittsburgh, Zoltan Mesko, the punter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Zoltan, thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me, Neil. I appreciate it.
We're excited to talk to you today and everything. And how have you liked Pittsburgh so far since you've got here? What do you think of it?
Yeah, I've definitely been getting used to it. You know, a new city that I've been a little bit familiar with growing up in the Midwest area. I grew up in Cleveland, so I made a few trips to Pittsburgh, and I thought, you know, the city's great, and it's got its own great personality, and you know, it's got that the football sports love that the fans really, you know, they just come out and they're super supportful.
Exactly.
Of their teams.
Definitely, Zoltan. And what's really interesting about the whole situation is that you growing up in a town like Cleveland, which is another huge football town, and then playing for the Patriots, the same type of football town, you like that atmosphere. They're just so enthusiastic, and it gives you that motivation each week to go out and play, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, growing up as a Cleveland fan, I know what it's growing up in Cleveland, first off. And, you know, when I first came to Cleveland, I didn't have in 1997, I didn't have a football team to cheer for. And what ended up happening by chance almost, I ended up liking this black and gold jacket at Walmart. And that was my first jacket. And when I first came to the U.S., I didn't know what it stood for or what the emblem stood for. But I soon learned you know, that it was a Steelers jacket, and catching the flag from the fans in Cleveland, it was pretty hilarious.
So interesting. The first football jacket you're wearing, the Steelers. That's a great story. But really what we're catching up on today, especially because we're going to definitely have you back on to tell about your career and stuff because of how busy it is. Tomorrow's the big game against the Ravens. I appreciate you taking the time. I want to talk about why you started your foundation, because, again, I think it's fantastic that you take your foundation to Pittsburgh with the Rooney tradition and how great they are off the field helping others, and it's a perfect fit coming to Pittsburgh with this foundation, meaning having that foundation before. So tell us why you started it.
Well, first off, you know, talking about Pittsburgh and the Rooney family, how much they do in the community and how much they expect of you, which is, you know, amazing in itself. And their connection is very, very close to home to where my love for charity came about. And they've done a lot of stuff with Mott's Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor, I've heard. And that's where my motivation came from, is in college, where I wanted to go in and visit kids at the hospital. I heard about this program that the athletes had started, where about 50, 60 athletes would go on Thursday nights every week to visit the sick kids in the hospital. And I thought it'd be a great resume builder. And that was very selfish of me when I realized how special it was for the kids and how special it was for me to put a smile on their faces. And after that, I fell in love with it and pretty much attended every Thursday for 5 years because I was a redshirt and fifth year senior when I graduated.
I tell you, we had a tough situation. Thank God it's not cancer with my daughter, Annika, where she has a low chronic ITP, but we were concerned it might have been leukemia. So we had to go through this the last couple of weeks. So we're going to Children's all the time, seeing the kids and what they're going through, and definitely our prayers are with them. And I could see by going every week and finally touching them and saying, wow, a college athlete, especially Michigan, coming to visit me and spend time with me when I'm really in a tough time. It's really hard for me, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's, It's crazy how much, you think you have problems up until you see those 4, 5, 6 year olds, wherever, hooked up to so many IVs, and it just breaks your heart. It's like, what have they done wrong to deserve this? And that's where kind of my motivation comes in, to put a smile on their face, because you cannot really quantify how much that helps to raise their spirits and, you know, to keep on fighting through it. Because most of them with the technology today, they make it through, and they're successful in beating the cancers and every disease they fight, and all the heart transplants and everything I've seen. And kids I've, even left like a football with them if they're in the ICU and obviously can't communicate with you. But everything I feel like makes a difference and something you cannot quantify.
Absolutely. And it's so great to give back. And I think with your success to be a professional athlete when you were in college, also success of playing for Michigan, it's just so fantastic to see these kids' eyes light up, because you're a hero to them. And you're coming and spending time with them in their hardest times. So what fantastic thing. So basically from there, after that experience, you worked with the Patriots time, you know, volunteering at different foundations that they had. But then, I guess in your mind, you said, you know what, I got to start my own, right? Because you really just felt this is such a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. Another way, I cannot help enough, and I was looking for another avenue to help kids and sick kids in hospitals and, you know, all across the board, really. I mean, my foundation may have a really technical definition of what we do, but really, in layman's terms, we just try to help put smiles on kids' faces, and whatever we can do, we try to help with in a monetary fashion, besides, myself going bedside and visiting with them. So it's another avenue that I've looked at, and I've put on various events such as a Zolioki event, which is a karaoke event with the Patriots for the past 2 years, and I would love to bring it to Pittsburgh, where the players got to sing in front of the fans, and we helped raise a lot of money. And basically, I mean, as athletes, we focus mainly on our athletic skills, so we're not that skilled in the musical talent department, so we're going to embarrass ourselves. But it's, you embarrass yourself for a good cause, so that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I was reading up on that. I said, so are you a good singer, Zoltan?
Excuse me?
Are you a good singer?
I think I am. Sometimes I'm way off note, and that's why I don't mind getting embarrassed for a good cause, and that's what I love about it.
Well, if any way I can help you, especially with, in the Pittsburgh area, to get things going in Pittsburgh, I will definitely reach out to people, especially in the community, because I really think it's a tremendous thing, especially when my heart has been really going through things. Like I said, with my daughter having chronic ITP now, or no, she has ITP. We hope it's not chronic, and she's 2 and soon mm-hmm. 3. And that just the help kids in so many ways. So your foundation goes more than just visiting hospitals. So I read the mission statement, but can you tell us the mission statement so that we understand how our listeners out there can help you out and really help out the foundation, and what other ways do you do it, not just with visiting hospitals?
Yeah. Well, like I said, the mission statement for us is it's really case by case. We try to help sick, underprivileged kids that are in need of monetary help, whether it's like we did a Christmas gift thing at the Boston Children's Hospital, where we bought $10,000 worth of presents for the kids, and they got to come down with their parents. And then we partnered up with a steakhouse to provide like kind of a quote unquote date night for the parents of the children. So it was because they tend to the parents, you forget about how much time they spend in the hospital, sometimes a couple months at a time where they don't leave the bedside. I mean, that's how much you love your kid, and I don't understand that yet, but hopefully when I have kids, I do understand that love that the parents have. And, I can only kind of translate that for the parents that I've had, and how much they have loved me and how much they would sacrifice for me. So we try to alleviate any type of emotional pain for the kids and their parents.
Oh, that's tremendous. And so your focus is definitely going to be on many different areas. It just depends on what the fundraiser is doing and how you're doing it based on certain things. And definitely looking at when kids are having these problems and are going through these things, you got to definitely think of the parents as well in this process, because we just absolutely, our lives get turned upside down. I didn't have to deal with this, but we have a family that, and my wife taught that a child that has leukemia, and I tutor the child every week, and he's back in school and everything, but my wife had him in kindergarten. So it just really hit us close to home seeing what happens. And my daughter even cut her hair so she could donate it to a child with cancer. So we've been doing a lot to try to help in those ways.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so ultimately, you in the foundation, where do you see it going? Where do you want to take it? Like, in what areas, what other areas are you thinking of helping others through the foundation, especially when you just started in 2012?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like the sky is the limit. I would love to continue it for another several decades of my life. I think, you know, one of the biggest meanings of life, you know, I think we're always in search of that, is to help others. And if I can continue that and grow the foundation and help more and more people and encourage others to do the same, that's really my personal mission statement, is to spread the love and to spread the formula for happiness, because it is to give. And, you know, it took me some hardships to realize that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something where now, being with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I had Ryan Clark on my show. He has a fantastic foundation. So many of the players that they'll work together with you to help you to become even better at it. They're just, it's just, the Rooney family is just amazing. I had an opportunity to talk to Art Rooney II at Andy Russell's golf tournament, and I was blown away what it started from Art and the history and all those different things. So I know your foundation is going to have tremendous success. So where can our listeners go ahead and help donate to the foundation and learn more about you as well?
Well, the website is ZoltanMuskoFoundation.org. So you can go there. There's a donate link, and, you know, 100% of the proceeds will go to a good cause. And like I said, it's a case-by-case thing where if I come across something and it really touches my heart, basically everything touches my heart, but, you know, something that really connects with me, you know, we tend to donate to that cause. And, you know, we're a 501c3 registered nonprofit organization, and the money is well accounted for. You know, we have constant feedback on my board. Basically, it's my friends from college who are donating their time to me, and I am so thankful of them for doing so, because they helped me a tremendous amount in taking care of the logistics part of everything.
Well, absolutely, and it's, you got to have a team together, especially with the busy football season, and season really never ends in certain aspects, and you're always pulled in so many directions. To have the right people on that board of directors to keep it going, to make sure the mission is there and you're helping children, tremendous way. And we'll definitely try to keep have you back in about 3 months after the season's over to talk to you specifically about how other events that you're promoting and ways we can help each other out and learn more about your story, because you have a very interesting story that 14 minutes absolutely is not enough time. But you go out there and beat the Ravens tomorrow, and I know I'm on an international talk show and I'm definitely wearing my black and gold right now. You go out and go ahead and beat the Ravens tomorrow and get on a big win streak, and maybe when we talk, we'll talk about a very successful season, because you've always been playing for a winner, and we'll keep it going. So again, we can find also info on you at Twitter and your foundation at Twitter as well, right? At
yes.
Zoltan
yes.
Mesko, and at Zoltan Mesko Foundation as well. So thanks for calling the program, and go Steelers. Thanks again for
All
calling.
Right. Thank you, Neil, and thank you to the listeners for tuning in. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. See ya.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to the Total Tutor Show powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm really excited to welcome the program. This actor has been on some big shows. I'm talking, if I list them right here, and I'm going to talk about them specifically, he's up and comer, but also in a lot of ways, he's a teacher too, and involved in, I guess he's a jack of all trades in acting. Someone welcome to the program, Dwayne Boyd. You were in Sleepy Hollow, Walking Dead, and Army Wives. Dwayne, thanks for calling, yeah. Man.
Hey, no, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for taking time for me today.
Absolutely. Let's go specifically, I guess, your whole life, did you want to be an actor? Was this something you wanted when you were a kid and stuff?
You know, I think when I started out, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed the arts, you know, and drama and acting. And I mean, I was a kid in the front yard that couldn't leave my front yard when, you know, when I was younger, and I had to create my own enjoyment. So I would put a towel around my neck, and I was sitting there, and I would play football and love with it, with helmet on by myself. So I had to do a lot of things to keep myself entertained. And for me, that to me showed me that, you know what, hey, this is truly probably what I need to be doing for a living. So I remember those days clear, and I could play all day as a kid. So, yeah, I think that it's always been with me. I took some classes when I was in high school. I went to Kansas City, Missouri, and I took some classes there. And at the time, I didn't realize I could make a living at this. You know, I knew people were actors, but I didn't know how to get involved and, you know, what was the first necessary step to start.
It's quite interesting when you hear about these things. Dwayne, you say, okay, I'm going to try this. And then you do. And so when did you start? In high school, did you start going to acting classes or before that?
And I started in high school. It was, you know, at the time I took a class, it was an easy grade. I said, oh, I enjoy acting. You know, it was an easy grade for me. But I look back, and that was truly the first seed planted as far as being a freshman. You know, and I always tell people, especially, you know, when I talk to younger kids, they said they want to act. I said, well, are you taking it in your high school? You know, they have drama class everywhere now. So that, to me, really kicked things off. And it's just one that made me want to further my studying as far as the class is concerned.
Absolutely. And then through there, you continue to study it. When do you think, so did you study it in college, or did you do you have a different major?
You know, I went from high school, I went to the military for 7 years. I served in the Army for 7 years. I was a sergeant in infantry. I know, right? You just kind of went left with that. But I went to the service, and I can tell you, that was a great experience. I got to see the world. I got to live overseas for a little while in Germany. And it gave me the structure I needed, because I couldn't have went straight to college right after high school. I just was not mentally prepared for that. So I think being in the military taught me a lot, taught me how to be a little more disciplined. And I can honestly say, I think a lot of men, if they can, sign up and, you know, try to, you know, give at least a couple of years under your belt, because it taught me so much about being, you know, being on my own, being a little more mature, about, you know, my work ethic, business, and everything else. So after I did 7 years in the military, I got out of the military, and I started to, I ran a barbershop for a few years, because I didn't quite know what I wanted to. I knew I didn't want to go into corporate America, but I had the skills to do that, but I ended up running a barbershop and came back to acting.
Wow. It's quite interesting how that process begins and starts, isn't it? Really is.
Yeah. And so, everybody's got their own path, and you got to figure out, you know, what the next move is for you, but everybody's got their own way of getting involved.
The roles you have been able to do in acting, a lot of ways is from your background in the military. Do you feel that they're always looking for actors in that area? A lot of times, I have a good friend, Scott Levy, that does video game acting in L.A., and he tells me, and he was in the Devil's Cartel and some other ones, and he just told me, again, military guys, that's definitely something they're looking for in a lot of ways for different acting gigs.
Oh, most definitely, and I'll tell you this. A lot of times, for TV and film, they want honesty. You know, they want people that really, really, really look the part, understand how important it is to make sure it's a very little thing on the show, on the film. And I've even had a letter come to me on the set of Army Wives to tell me the reason we liked you for this part was because you didn't play a soldier as a soldier. You played him as a real person. people tend to forget that, you know, these people that join the military and myself and people that are in law enforcement, they're still people first.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to play a caricature of what this is, we need to make sure that we honor the person first, and they just happen to be doing these types of jobs. So anytime I play the cop or a military guy, whatever the case is, a soldier, I've always brought the wing first because I'm you know, having that experience. A soldier is nothing but, honestly, a proof officer for the world. And so I think a lot of times we've overplayed. You've seen these characters overplayed.
Yes.
Living that lifestyle would have been helpful.
So how did you get discovered? How did you go back and become an actor? You know, after you said the barbershop, you were in the military, you had acting experience, meaning background, meaning training.
Right.
But what got you back into it?
You know, I remember I got a bit depressed about the station I was at, and I just was not happy. I was not happy at all. I was cutting hair, but I felt like I was living someone else's dream and not mine. And a good friend of mine, Chris Bryant, came to the barbershop. I was cutting his hair one day, and I told him, I said, hey, man, I'm feeling a little down about this lately. What do you think I should do? He says, well, what are you down about? I said, I'm just tired of where I am. He said, well, what do you want to do? And I took a moment and said, acting. He said, well, then stop and do it. And I remember packing my stuff up, not knowing what the next step was, and tell everybody goodbye, and I set out to do this. So, I don't suggest everybody just, you know, whatever it is you want to do, just stop doing it. You stop and start doing that. Of course, there's some steps. But there was a bit of a struggle at first, you know, not knowing how to proceed and everything else. But I knew this was truly what I wanted to give a shot. And I felt like it was the smartest thing I've ever done.
Okay, so Dwayne, basically, you go and with not much acting experience, where did you go from there? Once you said, I'm going to pack up and go, did you go straight?
I packed up and I went to another barbershop. I went to a barbershop where I didn't have to rent it. You know, I went to a barbershop kind of like on a part-time basis, and that allowed me to have the freedom to go to auditions, go work on gigs, extra gigs, whatever I could do to just really immerse myself in the business. I started taking classes. I got headshots. I got an agent, and that kind of kicked everything off at that point.
And did it come quickly to get the opportunities? What would you say was your biggest break?
You know, it started to come... you know, very slow at first, and then it started to become a little more frequent. My first big break to me was a film I did called The Gospel back in 2005. So I started in 2001, basically 2001 is when I started and gave it a good try. And 2005 was my first big break. It was a feature film called The Gospel. It was a $3 million film that Sony had done. And good friends of mine, Will Packer and Rob Hardy, were producer and director on that. They're doing great things now. I know Will does a lot of different things for Sony. He's done, I think, the last five films as a producer has been number one at the box office. And Rob Hardy is the director on that show. He did a lot of TV for, you know, CSI Now, Vampire Diaries, whatever. But these guys are really gave me a great opportunity to pursue this by giving me a shot in their first feature film, The Gospel. It was a movie starring Boris Kojo, Idris Elba, who's a huge star now. Idris is on everything now, And that movie for me was my breakthrough performance. I thought so. It got me a lot more opportunities because if you know acting, you know people have to see you in something and say, hey, this guy's done this. Let's try to bring him over.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to get any more auditions. You're not going to get any opportunities. People aren't going to consider you till you get into the one film that is your break. So you would say that was the break. Now I listed and I could say even more of some really big things you were in for our audience. Sure. That's into the mainstream thing, the stuff that, you know, that's, you know, when you watch TV, you say, I know all about this show. So let's go. You kind of already mentioned Army Wives. What was your role in Army Wives? And it was a pretty reoccurring role, right? For sure.
Yeah. So Army Wives, I got a chance to be a military captain. I was enlisted in the Army. So for me to play an officer was a little different, but, it's still the same hall, same type of understanding of the military background. And I played a captain on that show, Captain Doing That. I did three episodes of that show, and it was a great cast down there. At the time, it was one of a lifetime's highest rated shows. And just being on that set for me was really, really amazing because I got to see people that I've grown up watching on TV on different shows. I got to see them work. And to me, that was the first taste of what TV is like. TV is a much faster pace, too. TV moves so quick. You'll shoot, I don't know, maybe a whole episode in like 16, 18 days.
Exactly. Yeah. So you went
on a large scale.
Absolutely. So what would you say was your best experience in Army Wives? Who did you learn from the most in getting that opportunity?
You know, just watching, I think for me, just getting to work with the main cast of the show. I got to work with a young lady who plays, Catherine Bell, she plays in the show. I got to work with her. I got to work with Rossi LeBlanc and Sally Preston. Her character's Rossi on the show. Probably Joy Timberlaney and just the whole cast. I was in one scene where I got to be around the entire cast and just watching how each individual prepared and watching how the shots were set up and how you just had to be a professional. Everybody on the set was very professional. Very professional.
Okay, let's go to Sleepy Hollow, which is another very popular show. How many times did you end up in Sleepy Hollow?
You know, the funny thing about Sleepy Hollow is when I got the call for it, which was True Blessing, I'm Lisa Fincannon, one of the Fincannon, the cast directors in the Southeast, out of Wilmington, but I love working with them, and they do cast a lot of major things. And Sleepy Hollow was something that was a bit far-fetched at first. I said, oh, I wonder how it's going to do, man. This is it for Fox now, so I shot the pilot. And I got to meet Len Wiseman, and I got to work with him. He directed all the Underworld movies and, Underworld 1 through 4, I think there's 4 of them. So he directed quite a few of those. And I also got to work with the team from Star Trek, Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, I believe his name is. And these guys were, I love Star Trek. I love their writing. I just thought their writing was incredible. And so when I got the opportunity to work on this project, I was excited because I'm a huge sci-fi fanatic. Anything dealing with sci-fi is
mine. Right.
So working on that big finale of the first pilot episode was amazing. And then I heard he got picked up, which was really exciting because, as you know, the show is set at a precinct in present day. So, Sleepy Hollow was brought to this day and age. And the main cast on the show, Nicole Beharie, it was amazing. And Orlando Jones and Tom Myson, they were working at a police station on the show. So I play a cop on this show. So another opportunity to be a cop. And anytime you're a cop on a show that's about cops, you got so many opportunities to come back. So,
how many episodes were you involved with Sleepy Hollow?
Just right now, the first episode. I did the very first pilot episode. And if I'm not mistaken, that episode was the highest rated show for Fox in the past 6 years. You got 10 million viewers that night.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay. It's very interesting. And then The Walking Dead, which I know my fans out there, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm on Facebook. These are fans that are all into whatever sport, and they're telling them, I'm not watching that. I'm watching The Walking Dead. So tell me about that experience.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I think what they call the fans of the show, a deadhead, is what they call them?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So that was amazing. I didn't watch much of the show until I got a chance to work on the show. And again, the bad thing about the show for me was I got this huge opportunity on the show, and I was getting killed the same episode. I was like, come on, But to be on that show, I did a scene where the episode was where they introduced who the governor was, and he actually was revealed to be a nasty guy on the show, and we were the kind of the bring in for that, for him as far as developing who that character was. And David Morrissey, he's a great actor. He was very, very talented just to watch him work. And I've seen him in tons of other projects. But, that experience on Walking Dead, it moved pretty quick. The zombies, when I tell you, these zombies were really, really in person on that show. Because we had to lunch. And I was eating lunch at the table with one of the zombies. I think he would have done the way it looked so next. That's how real the zombies look on that show. And, I just had a great time, and I regret not being able to do more episodes. I don't love being on that show for a longer amount of time.
Your problem is you're a cop or a military person. You have a good shot of being killed.
I'm always in the line of danger, right?
You're always in the line of danger, and there's always violence in these shows, and that's what happens. So we get back more Dwayne Boyd, and we're going to learn about now, I guess, where his passion's leading him. If you Googled him and you checked out the different websites he has, you learn that specifically that he has a lot of passions involving the entertainment field and also some new projects. So we're going to find all about that. So we're with celebrity Dwayne Boyd from Sleepy Hollow, Walking Dead, and Army Wives, and you're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, you also could go to BeachLifestyle.com to check out all my celebrity interviews, and SimplyG.com to find out more info on me as well. I guess I have a lot of the websites just like you, Dwayne, in certain ways. So you're talking about these roles, and you're a working actor. And this is a key thing I'll tell our listeners out there, that if you stay working, you're going to make a living in this business. And that's what you've been able to do, staying the course since 2001 in acting. But during that time, you've become a veteran actor, an experienced actor, and you are involved in a lot of other things. Tell us a little bit of some of the other projects you're doing right now.
You know, right now, it's just amazing because, I think I have three different recurring roles in different shows. And I just worked on a show here that's shooting called The Red Road. It's a show on the Sundance Channel starring Martin Henderson and Jason Momoa. It's set right, like I said, it's right here in Atlanta, but it's one of those type shows that I think that's going to do real well on the Sundance Channel. And I play Officer Bernard role on that show, and it's a great show. And I got some 2 episodes so far. I think they're doing a 6-episode arc to see if they can, you know, get a good following and everything else. But, yeah, it was a great opportunity working on that. And I just recently started working on a show in New York called Taxi Brooklyn South. It's a TV series that's airing over in France right now, but I believe they're also trying to bring it here and get it picked up for the United States.
Interesting.
So,
it's nice to be in recurring roles because you constantly are on the set then, right? Constantly working.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, I just worked on a show called Resurrection for ABC. It's a show Brad Pitt's company is producing, Plan B Productions, they're producing. And I play a cop on a show named Bobby Ronaldo, I think his name is. And I got to sit and work with a very talented actor. I mean, you guys may know him from, he was the dad on That 70s Show. You guys remember the character? He was the dad on That 70s Show?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got to work with him. And he told me one thing that's kind of stuck with me. He said, his name's Kurt Smith, by the way, but he said, I'm always playing a cop, you know, and, you know, I get to play a cop part of it. He said, well, Dwayne, they'll always be working.
Exactly.
And that just stuck with me. I said, wow, he's right, because every show needs a cop. And it made me look at reevaluate how I even looked at being the cop, because I was like, oh, I want to do something else, but. Now, hey, if I'm the cop, I'm the top list. I'm going to be the best cop in this market. You know? So that's pretty amazing. I've been on a show once. I was slated to go back, but I ended up having a conflict with another shooting. Couldn't go back to that episode.
Hey, so, you're working, Dwayne. That's the key thing. And let me tell you, and I'm glad to hear this, because I did have an actor on that I just brought him on because he played at Notre Dame and he was in the NFL, but he was also an actor. I can't remember his name, but he told me he makes more money than many of these stars because they have their one role for 1 year and then they're finished. And he constantly is working. Lots of actors, after their gig's over, they can't find work. And people think you get rich as an actor, and you don't, do you?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, it seems like he's under the radar, which is a good thing because he can slide in on many different projects, many different shows, and continue to work. You're right. Once a person gets typecast as one type of character on the show, it's hard for them to go find work because so many people see them as that person. Or they say, well, hey, we don't want that type of this, or we don't want people to associate that show with this show. So it's really hard to maneuver back and forth once you've made such a great mark in one show, one opportunity, which is still a great opportunity because I would love to be a series regular for 6 years on the show. But of course, the creative side of me wants to do something different after a while, and it tends to be hard to find work once you've done a character so well for so long. Which is a curse and a blessing in a sense.
Exactly. You're still known for the same thing 10-15 years ago, and it might have not made you any money at all. It's amazing to look at the athletes, Dwayne, and before they were paying them a lot of money, they had to have other careers after this, but you are doing something you're passionate about, what you love, and I think that's the key part of this. And playing a cop, you never know. there could be a movie about cops and you're playing that starring role. So just keep keep persevering in those areas. So you're typecasting yourself in a good role, Army or cop. Maybe you got to look at the futuristic way too, Dwayne. How can you be involved in those futuristic stuff that's coming out? You know, so there's definitely some more other possibilities. And check it out.
I've already got an opportunity for that. So with Hunger Games, in the first Hunger Games, I was the main peacekeeper that got to bring Katniss's family into the room to see her push her off the fight. And I got to work on that set for a couple of weeks because I was in front of the Capitol, bringing the kids on stage. So another military type, cop type that showed up, and it worked. 100 years in the future, so who knows?
Awesome. And what else, I guess, Dwayne, in this process is that are you doing other things involving entertainment as well, not just all the acting? Tell us a little about that. Yeah,
I have my own production company. I started called 34 Nasty Productions, and I shot my first feature film that did really well. Went to got distribution nationwide. The romantic comedy I wrote, produced, directed, starting called 4 Minutes. I also have an acting class here called Premier Actors Network in Atlanta, where we help actors to prepare to work in this market, and we teach them the skills necessary to go out here and get an agent and start working on a set somewhere. And I also have my own photography company that I started called Blaine Boy Photography, and we shoot quite a few actors here in the Southeast.
So you're a busy guy. If you're a full-time working actor, which you're telling me with the reoccurring roles, and you have all the other stuff, you must be very, very busy, a little different than the days of the barbershop, right?
Oh, you know, it's funny because a couple of years ago, I quit the barbershop. No, I guess I was still kind of part-time there. But it became a situation where the barbershop was now in the way.
Yeah.
You know, the barbershop was in the way. So I think that was when I started to lose weight because I was in the barbershop, I said, you know, it's time for me to let the barbershop go. And sometimes we'll do things because it's a comfort zone thing for us instead of stepping out and stepping on that faith and just having that faith that things are going to work out. And that's what I was able to do the last couple of years. So. Been great.
So with your production company and involving teaching actors and different things in the classes, what have you seen about these up and comers? Especially we're talking about Atlanta. We're not talking LA now. We're talking off air about the importance of Atlanta and how Atlanta is really becoming a hotbed for acting and opportunities and things like that in different shows. These people that first come to you, what do you see from them? And do you see yourself at when you were starting, in a way?
All the time, right? You know, when people come in for the first time, because I remember, I tell them all the time, I started from exactly where you are. Not knowing anything about the business, not knowing how to get into the business, and just really not having an understanding of how much hard work goes into this and everything else. So, first of all, I try to educate them on how to be dedicated to whatever you're choosing, you know, you're choosing to do, and how to present yourself always as professional, even when you're first starting out. Because, mainly, if you get an opportunity to set or get in front of a tax director or whatever case is, you're going to be judged on how you behave and how you handle yourself. And a lot of times, people just don't know. They come off as amateurs in this business, and you don't want that to be the thing that hinders you. So I always tell them, no matter what, always be on time. Know your lines. You have lines. Know your lines. Do what you're told. But follow everything to a key. You know, I teach my actors to be very detailed. Of course, you know, study your craft and be as prepared as possible. But above all else, it's still a business. And conduct yourself as if you're going to a job interview or you're going to work somewhere. That's what it is.
So, Dwayne, would you say that through your military background that helps you teaching people in acting and saying, you know what, you got to have your headshots ready, guys? And also, not just your headshots, you got to make sure that you show up on time, you call, you persevere through these different things, and you practice your lines over and over again like the military, right?
You know, everything I learned in the military, I'm applying now. Everything I learned, I tell you, you know, structure, order, discipline, being on, like I said, you know, just even the way I run my classes, I'm very structured. And that's what people can appreciate, you know. Again, I didn't realize when I was in the military how important those things were until now. You know, in the military, we were taught that because, you know, if you're in battle or in war, it's life or death, you know, and you have to really be focused and listen and pay attention to detail and do what you're told. But out here, in an acting career, it's the same thing. This is the life and death of your career. So either you take this serious and do what you need to do, hunker down and get things moving, or you're going to miss opportunities.
Again, we're talking to Dwayne Boyd, actor and much, much more. I call you an entrepreneur, Dwayne. Honestly, you are. With all the different things you have, you're definitely an entrepreneur. And that I love hanging out with entrepreneurs and hearing that you're able to make this your living. And that's, you got to be commended for that, because there's so many people Waiting tables right now in L.A. Bartending in L.A. I mean, I deal with this all the time. If you would go back and research all the interviews I've had with different people that are up-and-comers that are kind of making it, but yet they're working other gigs. And the ones that are full-time just stay the course. And you stay the course. And then you found your gift and saying, I could teach as well. I could produce as well. Where do you think you're going to get your biggest break, Dwayne? Where do you think we're going to finally say, you know, when we see Dwayne Boyd on, I guess, with an Emmy or an Oscar or something? Do you see that someday happening for you, especially when you're behind the scenes in so many other ways and also coaching?
You know, that's a good question there. I tell you, you know, for me, I'm just open to whatever's coming. And, you know, I tell you, man, I'm open to whatever opportunity presents itself, whatever comes my way, I'm for it, because we can have an idea of what it is we want. And that's great. Nothing wrong with it. You got to have goals and you got to have a vision where you want to go. But what I see now is the sky's the limit, truly. You know, you really have you have to have open eyes with this, you know, because we can have a limited understanding of what it is we want to achieve, and there could be so much more on the horizon, you don't even know it. So I'm ready. I'm open. I'm ready for the Oscar. I'm ready to produce. I'm ready to, you know, direct more. I'm ready to just do it all and just have a great time doing it, because I love what I do.
Well, I think I can tell you definitely do, and I can see it's a complete love and a passion in everything you do, Dwayne. And where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where do you I kind of put that whole aspiration out there, but what, let's just see. A lot of people that are, this is your art. You don't right. say, oh, by the way, okay, I want to have this big role. No, you have a certain different idea when it comes to art. Where do you mm-hmm. see yourself in the next 10 years?
10 years, I see my production company doing really well, and I'm producing the films I want to produce, and just have a great support system, a team in place, like I do now, but moving room even bigger. And I just see it's really making a real dent in the business when it comes to putting out content, quality content. I'm a fan of great writing, great films, great TV shows, and that kind of stuff that I want to be able to. I want to be able to work all the time in this business. And sometimes that even means going more behind the camera. And I'm totally fine with that. But I enjoy acting. When I get the opportunity, when I'm blessed with the opportunity to do it, I take it and run with it. But at the end of the day, I think we have to be creative of our own content. I work with Robert Townsend very early in my career. He instilled that in my head, that we have to be producers of our own content, because you can't sit by the phone and wait for someone to call all the time.
No, definitely. All right, so Dwayne, where can we find information on you, learn more about you, watch, I guess, your movies, your whole, all the different things that you do, Dwayne, your acting, if they're in the Atlanta area, or your production company as well? Where's all that info at?
Okay. Yeah, everything's on. I have quite a few sites. I don't remember some of them out here. My main site is DwayneBoyd.com. It's www.DwayneBoyd.com. Also, I have PremierActorsNetwork.com. That's PREMIER, ActorsNetwork.com. And you can also look for my production company website, which is 34thandAstroProductions.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, under Dwayne Boyd or Dwayne Boyd Acts. And you'll also be able to see me in a new film coming out this February, I think. We're premiering at Sundance. It's a movie called Grass Stain. It's a great coming-of-age story. It stars Caitlin Deaver from The Last Man Standing on Tim Allen Show, Ty Sheridan, and Annabeth Gish and Bill Sage. So I'm really excited about Grass Stain. We're premiering at Sundance.
Oh, well, we'll definitely have to have you back on to talk about it once the premieres on Sundance.
Let's do it.
Well, we'll
Let's
stay
do
in
it.
Touch, man. Twitter's the way we stay in touch. Trust me. You'll see how I tweet out, man. I'll tweet you out every syndicated station it airs on. I appreciate you taking the time, Dwayne, and best of luck to you.
No, thanks for having me, man. Take care.
All right, take care. All right. You're listening to Told Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment, and we'll be back. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And Evan Money, man, I tell you, if I could have more time with him just to ask questions, it's amazing. And then I watched the trailer right before I interviewed you, Evan, and it just spoke to me. The ability to look at these people and look at how they're trying to transform people's lives and are successful and impact people's lives. Is that how you started the idea of Words of Art, the film? Tell us a little bit about it.
Great question. Yeah, but let me go back. Previous segment, real quick, I want to address the white elephant in the room, because I know there's a lot of people listening that want to know, hey, is Money his real last name? And so I want to let everybody know that, yes, indeed, Money is really my last name. And to my bride's credit, 17 years ago, she was unashamed to marry Money. So that's a big thing to do in Los Angeles. You know, other countries are not so here. But here in L.A., to have someone unashamedly married Money, you know, that was her deal. So I can I'd love to be a fly on the wall, you know, when she talked to her parents. Yes, I'm going to marry Money. And we talked about previous section about, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the love of money is a sin. But in my case, it's okay. I just want to let everybody know that that's all right. And so the last thing you brought up, Neil, that I want to touch on is, again, you're right. It's not necessarily, you know, the love and the chasing of money is the challenge, but it's not necessarily the money. It can be anything. I see people chasing positions, chasing titles, chasing power. You know, it's those things that it's not what you're chasing. It's the chase that is causing the challenge, whereas it's instead of chasing that, it's understanding you don't need to chase that. You can just live your dream and you can aspire to get there. But it's that chasing for the sake of chasing rather than, hey, like we talk about in the movie, which will transition to Words of Art. Success is one thing. Impact is another.
Oh.
And that's the title of the film. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are successful, but like Darren Hardy said, what's the impact? And I think that goes, it cuts both ways, Neil, because you look at, you know, pick your favorite celebrity falling off the cliff lately, you know, right?
Yes.
So big success, right?
Yes.
But what's their impact? Their impact is drugs, this, that, you know, this divorce, you know, they have this negative impact. And so this movie is focusing on, hey, here's some successful, amazingly successful people that have had this, you know, generational impact. So we started with people like Zig Ziglar, who 20 years ago I listened to his cassette tape and it totally changed my life. And it's like, well, how many lives has he changed? You know, if you look at all the personal growth experts, they can all point back to a Zig Ziglar tape. And so you think about that impact from someone like that, or Dennis Waitley that some people may be familiar with. And, you know, he was the one responsible for training the Olympic athletes in the 80s and talking about all the stuff that they do now that's old hat. He pioneered that. I mean, what an impact from such an amazing man. And so the story of the movie really comes from, Neil, I was watching a documentary. And it was a documentary I was really excited about. It was made by a famous person. It was really cool. It was something I was really interested in. And I watched it, and I enjoyed it, but I was disappointed at the same time, Neil, because I was like, wow, this really wasn't what I thought it was going
right.
to be. You know, and that's not negative, because I know what it takes to make a movie, but I just have this deep down, like, basically my spirit, God telling me, hey, you can do better than that. And I was like, okay, so I could be like most people, sit around and complain about something or go blog on it. Oh, this movie was terrible, or this, or this, or this. But instead, I chose to take action. And
yes.
I said, hey, I really can do something. Why don't I make my own? And so I'm not a filmmaker by trade. I don't have a background in filmmaking. Me and my brother used to goof around with the old VHS camera. Remember those with the big block VHS
yes,
tape?
Yes.
So we goofed around back then and did all that. But I said, hey, I'd like to make a movie, and I'd like to honor these personal growth icons like Zig Ziglar, like, you know, Dennis Waitley, you know, these kind of guys, get to most of them before they die, and do some of the newer guys, you know, like a Joel Osteen, like a Darren Hardy, and people like that. And that was my vision. That's all I had. I had a vision, and then God gave me the name of the movie in the shower. He gave me Words of Art, and I was like, okay, let's run with this. And so I found a partner, per se, someone who was a director who made documentaries before and understood the personal growth market. And I said, here's my idea. And he said, oh, that sounds really cool. And so I got his information, and I called him the next week. And he goes, wow, you actually called me. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, do you know when people come up to me and talk to me about stuff and then never call?
Oh, my.
And I was like, no, that's not me. And it's the purpose of this call for people listening. If you want to know the real secret to success, or, you know, what's the secret, the magic ingredient, it really comes down to taking action on the ideas you already have. Now, Neil, you and I are guilty of this, and so I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know personally, I know you're out in the, you know, terrible tallow land in Pennsylvania, but I know for a fact, Neil, that you and everyone else listening to this show, all the millions of listeners, they have literally a $10 million shower in their house or their apartment or whatever. And I know you're going, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We all have $10 million worth of ideas sitting in our shower that we've got inspired by, and, oh, that'd be a great idea. And guess what? They're still there. Still there. So one little trick for your audience, what I do is I went out and invested $12, $12.95, in a waterproof writing tablet. You can get them online. You can get them at any dive store, whatever. They're $12, $13, whatever. And it allows me to write notes while I'm in the shower. So I still have the little handwritten note in the shower that says, words of art. And so I took that piece of paper, and I got it out of the shower, and I took action on that idea. And so I called this director back, and I said, what's it going to take to make this movie? He goes, well, it's going to take X amount of dollars. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And then he's like, okay, you got to go find the people to be in it. And so I had to – here's the secret. People want to know, well, how'd you get, you know, Darren Hardy and Zig Ziglar and Joel Osteen and all these amazing people in your movie? Well, I had to take action and call them. And so here's a little secret. None of the people in the film called me.
No.
I had to call them.
Exactly. I want to jump. Let me jump in for 1 second, Evan, and that's the truth. And honestly, you got to go after it. And when I try to get the major celebrities on my show, I constantly am like, well, who am I going to connect with next? For example, a great conversation with Nancy Lieberman yesterday on my show, and I asked Nancy, I said, Nancy, you keep talking about Larry Fitzgerald. Can you get me Larry Fitzgerald? She said, yes, I'll get you Larry. That's all you have to do. If I would have been afraid to ask her, especially when I have 2 minutes of her on the phone, then I never had that opportunity. So you never, ever should wait. And you're speaking to me so much, Evan, through this Darren Hardy thing and saying, and when he talked about specifically not going out and doing what your idea is. Oh, Evan, you're right. I am at fault for that, too, for sure.
Well, I mean, again, we all are. I mean, I still have $10 million of ideas in my shower, but at least I've gotten a few out of there. But for a lot of your listeners, I'll give you a quick app that they can use. This is an app and an acronym. It's AAAP, so it's app, A-A-A-P. And the first thing has to do with you have to, number one, is you have to take action, okay? Now, the second A is you actually have to ask, right? You had to ask, hey, can we get Larry Fitzgerald on the show? Ask and you shall what, Neil?
Receive.
There you go. You have to ask, okay? So you have to take action, you have to ask, and you have to be aware, okay? You have to be aware of your opportunities and be aware of the people you're working with and be aware of, hey, you know what? If I don't take action, I don't ask now, it's probably never going to happen. And then the P part of the app you can put in front or behind, and that's pray. And so what a lot of people get confused is they go, well, I prayed, and so I'm waiting for Joel Osteen to call me and be in my movie. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused. So in my opinion, in my experience, rather than waiting for Joel Osteen to call me, I took action and I asked. Okay? And I think that's the part that a lot of people miss out on is, you know what, hey, even Moses still had to actually take action and go talk to Pharaoh, right? You know, he had to lift up his hand across the Red Sea. And you look at all the biblical examples, there's some action involved there. So a lot of people, you know, are big fans, and I enjoyed the movie The Secret. You know, it was a great movie. It was really focused on one principle, which is the law of attraction. And I think a lot of people get confused because it really is a two-parter. It's the law of attraction and also the law of action has to go with that because success doesn't come breaking in and sneaking into your house. You need to actually go outside and take some action.
All right, so so much to ask, but so little time in this. You probably learned so much from this documentary movie, haven't you? Getting to talk to all these people. And it must have been amazing putting it together with all those great people. Would you agree? Such a learning experience?
Oh, I honestly, Neil, I feel a little sheepish because obviously the movie, you know, we literally have 16 hours worth of footage. So you've got an hour and a half movie, and you got 16 hours worth of footage. I'm really like, oh my gosh, I'm getting the most out of it because I get to get around these people. I get to ask them all these great questions, and once they realize that you're sincere and you're really into it, like Dennis Waitley, he, after the footage, first of all, we got to film at his house, and then he took us out to lunch. I got a great picture of him signing one of my old cassette tapes that I've been carrying around for 20 years. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh. I mean, even if I never put the movie out, it was the greatest experience of my life learning from all these people and having them open up and realize, it's like, oh my gosh, I've got 500 years of collected wisdom and greatness. And so honestly, I didn't do it for that reason, but I'm just like, wow, I've got the best seat in the house. This is the best thing ever.
And Darren talked about that with Success Magazine, the same thing, that basically he gets to interview the most brilliant people in the world, and he gets to learn from them and take their ideas and roll with them. And I see that, Evan, as the opportunity that you were able to do. And I know my listeners out there, especially that are fans of these people you've talked about, Evan, can't wait to see the movie. When is it released? Going to be released? And ultimately, how can our listeners find out information on you and learn more about you, purchase your books and everything?
Oh, wow. You know, I really, really appreciate that. So as far as the movie goes, the movie world is an art, not a science, for sure. So the first thing they can do is visit wordsofartmovie.com. And there's a sneak peek trailer on there that you were alluding to. We put out, if you join the little email list there, we even put out a sneak peek clip of me with Darren Hardy and some of the great lessons that he taught. So if you're a Darren Hardy fan, you want to see some behind-the-scenes stuff, there's a little link on that website, wordsofartmovie.com. And if you're really enjoying, you know, some of this ADD visionary entrepreneur, you know, type stuff that you're getting from me, you know, I would love to encourage you any way I can. I would send you to the best site to go to is I would check out evanmoneylive.com. That's evanmoneylive.com. And you can get a little gist of what we're all about and how we can help and serve you. And again, it's really about saying, hey, if someone, you know, like me, this bald-headed kid who had no clue what he was doing, can create this life of his dreams, I'd be more than honored to share and teach anyone that's really interested how they could do the same.
Well, fantastic, Evan. Definitely going to have you back on the show. I'm going to invite specifically when the movie is launched to promote again any of them, Darren, Joel, anyone you want to invite that you were part of the movie with to talk about it more in detail. You're welcome to come back next month. When are you expecting to launch this?
Well, Neil, it's all in the hands of post-production now. So we're thinking the movie will launch probably, I'd say, January, February of next year.
Awesome. Limited release, where you, again, that's all up to the hands of God, too, right? Where it's
yeah, gonna... no, we'll definitely, trust me, anyone that's open to promoting it, we're going to tap those sources.
Well, I'm here. I'm going to definitely, after Darren's training, I'm there. And whenever you get a chance to talk to Darren, say one of your students came and interviewed me on the radio. That'd be interesting conversation I'm sure you'll have possibly with him.
Absolutely. And then real quick, for you, Neil, for you taking the time as a blessing to you and also to some of the folks that will sign up at wordsofartmovie.com, we are going to be giving away, but I'm going to step out and let you know right now, Neil, if you can make it out, I will put you on the VIP red carpet Hollywood premiere list. Now, I can't guarantee that you're going to sit next to Joel Osteen and Darren Hardy, but I can get you in the same room and get you on the red carpet and have a great time. So if you'd like for me to, I can put you and your bride on the list and have you out for the VIP red carpet Hollywood premiere. What do you say, Neil?
When it happens, hey, I'm going to say yes, and I'll tell my wife. That'll be a great present for us to go out. Absolutely.
Yes, but please do not send me the bill for your bride's new dress that she's going to want. So I'm warning you ahead of time.
Not at all. You're the best, Evan, but we got to keep promoting it. So next month, let's have someone else on that's part of the movie, and let's keep rocking it out to promote it for you.
Nice. No, really appreciate it.
All right, Evan. Good talking to you, and then everyone go check that out. And you're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment.